Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're talking about a great subject today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you may be saying, well, Pastor, this is not Easter. You must be kind of mixed up. No. The resurrection of Jesus is not just an Easter Sunday message. It is a message that is part of the core and foundation of the gospel itself. In fact, it is such an important message that if Jesus was not raised from the dead, according to the Apostle Paul, then our preaching is in vain, our faith is in vain, and we are yet in our sins, and the dead are not raised. In other words, what Jesus did at the cross was not accepted by God. And he was not the true Messiah, and his blood was not pure enough to save. But because of the resurrection, everything that happened on Mount Calvary was validated and ratified. The resurrection is not just an important part of the gospel, it is a vital element within the gospel. And there are those who do not believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus as if it really didn't make that much of a difference. And that's why last week we talked about the fact that it is a cardinal truth in Scripture. Amen. It is one of those elements of the gospel that is indispensable. Without it, all of the gospel and all of the hope of everlasting life crumbles like a house of cards when shaken. But because Jesus physically, bodily rose from the dead, then he has become the first fruits of them that slept. You know what that means? That means he is the first man who ever died and was raised from the dead, never to die again. Hallelujah. And that means all those who put their trust in him can look forward to life eternal. Death will not cancel what Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Well, I'm one of those believers in Jesus Christ. I have trusted him as my Lord and personal Savior. I've repented of my sins and invited him into my heart. And I have this blessed hope. Thank God he is risen indeed. So this is not just Easter stuff. This is Christian stuff. This is biblical stuff. This is critical to faith stuff that we are studying today. It is a cardinal truth in Scripture. Amen. Jesus has been physically, bodily raised from the dead. And not only is it an absolute cardinal truth in Scripture, it is also a historical fact in time. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Before we get into the remainder of this message, and don't you turn that dial, I want you to stay tuned. Even if you're not a Christian, I want you to understand why this is so important to us as believers in Christ. And I want you to understand all of the evidence that we have for the resurrection. So this is interesting and intriguing, to say the least. Amen. And I'm going to bring it direct from the Bible, something that I believe is going to be better than anything on the History Channel. Sometimes they get a little confused, but if you stay with the book, it'll keep you straight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We would like to thank you for joining us today. You can tell I'm excited. I'm already talking about this message, but we're so grateful for those of you in the Madison, Florida area that listen to WMAF, those of you that listen by computer and you have returned again, we welcome you back to this broadcast. And those of you listening in other states and other nations, we welcome you as this broadcast streams literally to every state in the United States and the nations of the world. Anywhere the World Wide Web goes, this broadcast can find a target. And we're claiming a scripture that says, amen, he sent his word. Psalm 107 and verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And I am literally just a mouthpiece. Praise God. Amen. I'm just bringing the word of God to the airways and letting God take it where he will. Praise the Lord. Your heart today is the target for God's word. I pray it will find a deep hiding place within your heart if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, I pray that it will go from your head to your heart before this broadcast is over. Hallelujah. And that you will receive Christ as your personal Savior and enjoy this blessed hope of life everlasting. Praise the Lord. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a cardinal truth, an indispensable truth. Without it, it is not the true gospel. It is also a historical fact. In time, the resurrection happened. It is not a myth or a fairy tale. It is a fact. Someone has said that if anyone who ever lived had this much evidence to substantiate an event in their life, no one could contest it. Amen. Now, there's a lot of people that would contest it, but no one could legitimately contest it. The most powerful piece of evidence for the resurrection of Jesus is the Bible record of his appearances. There are 6 independent written testimonies to this by Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, and Peter, 3 of whom are eyewitnesses, and they record 11 separate appearances over a period of 40 days. Now, this is strong evidence for this to be documented in the scripture. Number 1 was his appearance to Mary Magdalene in Mark's Gospel 16:9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. Number 2 is his appearance to a group of women between the tomb and the city in Matthew 28 in verse 9. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them. And this is after the resurrection, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Number 3 is his appearance to 2 disciples on their way to Emmaus. Luke 24:15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went unto them. Number 4, his appearance to Simon. Luke 24:32-34, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Number 5, his appearance to a group of disciples. Luke 24:35-36. And they told him what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Number 6, his appearance a week later to disciples behind closed doors. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Hallelujah. Number 7, his appearance by the Sea of Tiberias. John 21:1. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise he showed himself. Number 8, his appearance to more than 500 at the same time. 1 Corinthians 15:6, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, or literally some have died. In other words, during the time of the writing of Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, he said 500 people can be called, not just us apostles, but 500 people can be called. A few of them have died, but most of them remain. If they had sent out a subpoena for these 500 people, they could have got over 400 of them to appear to give testimony to the credibility of the apostles' testimony that Jesus, amen, was alive physically in a physical body after he had been crucified and put in a tomb. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is incredible evidential proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number 9, his appearance to James, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 7. And after that he was seen of James and of all the apostles. And then his appearance to 11 on a mountain in Galilee, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me on heaven and earth. Number 11, his appearance in the vicinity of Bethany. Luke 24, 50 and 51, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Number 12, his appearance to Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. You remember the story of the Apostle Paul, how he was on the road to Damascus, and he was had papers authorizing him to persecute Christian believers, and he saw a light brighter than the noonday sun, fell from his beast, his eyes being blinded. He cried out, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus replied, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Oh, my brother, my sister, if you're a Christian today, you are not believing a cunningly devised fables. This is not a make-believe story. This is not a faith where you have to absolutely shut your brain down to accept. This is a faith based on credible truth and historical fact and evidence. Praise the Lord. This kind of eyewitness accounting would hold up in any court that is fair-minded. Men and women have been sentenced to death on far less evidence than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Man refuses to believe, not because he can't believe, but because he chooses not to believe. Ah, friend, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a historical fact. But not only is it a historical fact, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a personal fact in experience. It's a historical fact in time, a cardinal truth in Scripture, but it is also a personal fact in experience. The Bible teaches that to be without God is to be without hope in this present world. Our existence is but a brief crack of light between two eternities of darkness. Thus wrote the Russian-American novelist Vladimir Nabokov in his autobiographical volume, Speak, Memory. Life, but a brief crack of light between two eternities of darkness. What a terrible, terrible, hopeless future we have. If death cancels everything and every relationship and all hope of ever seeing our loved ones or personally living again. An American diplomat who spent over a year in the Soviet Union said, and I quote, "There is nothing sadder than a Russian funeral with no words to console, no comfort for the grieving, no proclamation of hope." The fact of the resurrection of Christ is a fountainhead of hope that even death cannot conquer. It is a hope that is grounded in the certainty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope literally a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. His resurrection is the blessed assurance of our resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." We can be assured that the one who raised up Jesus from the dead will also quicken our mortal bodies. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." 2 Corinthians 4:14, "Knowing that he which raised up Jesus Christ shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you." He has the keys of death and hell, and nothing can prevent him from raising up. Revelation 1:18, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death." Friend of mine, this is a victorious gospel today because Jesus died and rose again. The cross is effective today, and the blood of Jesus is effective today, because God raised him up from the dead, amen, to show that he accepted the sacrifice. It is a hope that so lives that we are able to say it is a blessing to die when you die in the Lord. According to Revelations 14:13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Praise God! How wonderful and marvelous it is to be the object of God's mercy, and by grace, which we have been begotten to a living hope that is both sure and steadfast, being grounded in grace and mercy, and the Lord's own resurrection from the dead. He has promised in John 14:19, "Because I live, you shall live also." Praise the Lord. This is such incredible truth today. It is a personal experience. Every one of you that know Jesus as your personal Savior, you've met this risen Savior. You didn't just go through a cold religious ritual to come to Jesus. Amen. You were drawn to him by the Holy Spirit. He was made real or manifest to you by the Holy Spirit. And I actually know Jesus as my personal Savior. I haven't just given assent to something and accepted him. I know him as my Savior. Jesus is real because Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit can manifest him or make him real to you today. When Matthew tells his version of the resurrection story, it's filled with a host of apocalyptic images that the other gospel writers do not include. Earthquakes, the splitting of rocks, the opening of tombs. It is Matthew's way of signaling that the resurrection was not just something spectacular that happened to Jesus, but a decisive event in human history. Jesus' resurrection turned the world upside down, and so turns our lives upside down as well. Praise God. This gospel of Jesus, him crucified and raised again, that so shook that first century church, will shake the 21st century church if we will accept the biblical record and we will receive Jesus as our personal Savior. Hallelujah. You may not be a Christian today, and maybe it sounds so far-fetched that anyone could be raised from the dead, but if you believe there is a God in heaven, a mighty supreme being, I mean, we know him as a lot more than that, but if you just believe that much, that the world is no accident and neither are you. Amen. That the universe is too complex to be just the result of a random evolution. One rule of scientists, according to Dr. Wernher von Braun, the father of rocket propulsion and rocket science, he said one of the, and he was a Christian, a believer in the resurrection, by the way, and believed the Bible record of creation. And you know what he said, Dr. Wernher von Braun? You know what he said? He said one of the fundamental truths of science is you cannot get something from nothing. Wasn't there a song like that? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You can't get something from nothing. It is such, it's not, that's, it's profound, yes, because it's based on good science, but it's absolutely practical. And anybody out there in the listening audience can understand. I mean, you can take a child in first grade and say, if I don't have no oranges and I don't add no oranges, how many oranges have I got? Well, the answer is zero. You have to have something to start with for the whole theory of evolution to work. And a one-celled organism, oh yeah, you gotta have it. But it's got to be created because it didn't exist in space and time. There is a creator, and he didn't just create a one-celled organism that all life came from. He created everything that was made, the scripture said. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are many enemies of the cross, many who seek to destroy the faith and deceive the faithful, but the resurrection of Christ still stands as the sign God gives an unbelieving world. You know, Jesus was asked, show us a sign, we'll believe you. They wanted him to perform miracles on demand to prove something to them. And he said, a sinful generation seeketh a sign, but no sign shall be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. As the prophet Jonah, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so Jesus was going to die and be buried for 3 days. But just as sure as Jonah came out of that whale's belly, Jesus was going to come out of that tomb. He said that sign, the resurrection, is going to be the sign ever to everyone who doubts, everyone who disbelieves, everyone who has some issue with Jesus and his teachings and the great plan of salvation. The resurrection is the absolute God-given sign. Hallelujah. It validates it all. It's crucial to the faith, a cardinal truth in Scripture. It is a historical fact in time, and it is a personal fact in experience. I really like what Ray Comfort said. A blind anemic, weak-kneed flea on crutches would have a better chance of defeating a herd of 1,000 wild stampeding elephants than the devil has of defeating God. The resurrection stands today. It stands along with the cross as a centerpiece of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And today, I want to declare to you that Jesus, the Jesus that the Bible declares unto us and history declares unto us, that Jesus has come into this earth as a baby born of a virgin. He lived a life as a carpenter's son until 30 years old. He began his public ministry. For 3 years, he preached and taught and worked miracles to the degree that one of the writers said of the Gospels that if everything that he did during that 3 year ministry was recorded, I suppose the world couldn't hold the books. Now I know that was an exaggeration. He was presenting it as such, but what he's saying is it is such a huge thing. We have a very brief account in the Bible of all that Jesus did in that 3 years of appointed anointed ministry. He began it at 30 years of age, and at 33 he went to the cross, and he went voluntarily. voluntarily, saying, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and if I have the power to lay it down, I have the power to take it up again. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he took it up again on the third day to give us hope and to validate everything that he preached and taught and did, so that we could have a hope and that is an anchor for the soul, sure and steadfast, that reaches into that holy presence that is behind the veil. Amen. God did not lie about these things. This is not some kind of this is the most fought part of the gospel, I believe. The fact that Jesus lived, the fact that he died on a cross, is not the big issue when it comes to the Christian faith. The most fought part of it is that he was raised from the dead on the third day. Many would have you believe he was just a good man and not a God man. And honey, I want you to know that's not the truth. God came to this earth in Jesus Christ. He was the second person of the Godhead, and he was born of a virgin, but his daddy was not Joseph. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why the virgin birth is so vitally important as well. It's a cardinal truth. Amen. Just like the resurrection, it is a cardinal truth. Without these great truths, we don't have the gospel as it was once delivered. And Paul said, without this great truth, our preaching is in vain. Amen. And now we're yet in our sins, and those who have died and preceded us in death are not raised, and neither will we be. But because Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, amen, we have victory today, even over man's greatest enemy, death. Death doesn't cancel what Jesus did for us. Praise God. It couldn't stop him, and it can't stop us either. I love that great old kind of bluegrass flavored song that says, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Praise God. Amen. If you don't know Jesus today, listen, there's two resurrections, and we'll talk about that in one of these future teachings, if God permit. There's two resurrections. And by the way, you are going to be raised from the dead. The question is, are you going to be raised at the resurrection of the just, or are you going to be raised at the resurrection of the wicked dead? The important thing today, amen, is that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen? So that when you die, you are assured that you don't have to fear the judgment to come. Jesus came, he bled, he died, he rose again so he could forgive every sin that you have ever committed and give you eternal life as opposed to eternal damnation. Oh, friend of mine, it is my great privilege and honor today as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ as it is recorded in the Bible. It is my privilege today, not only as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen, but as a Christian, a participant in this gospel, to invite you to open your heart right now and ask Jesus Christ, whoever lives, to make intercession, to come into your heart, come into your life. Tell him you're sorry for your sin. Repent. Make a heart commitment to do a 180-degree turnaround. And I'm telling you, the Bible said anyone that comes unto God with a humble and contrite spirit, he will in no wise turn away. Maybe you know in your heart of hearts this was true all along. And today, if you've been kind of on the fence, arguing between your intellect and maybe your intellectual friends, or just your friends who might think you went off the deep end if you buy into the gospel. Friend of mine, maybe what you've heard today with the Holy Spirit's help would tip you to the truth, tip you over. You'd make the decision. You know in your heart, this is real, this is true. Oh, friend of mine, open your heart today and invite Jesus in. And let him save your soul so that you're part of that growing number of people who can give testimony that this is not only just a cardinal truth in Scripture, historical fact in time, but is a personal truth, a personal reality in experience. And if you're a Christian today, you take courage and you take hope because Jesus was raised from the dead. It means everything He said is true. Everything He promised He can fulfill. Everything the prophet said will come to pass concerning Him. Oh, what a glorious future we have in Christ today. Ah, friend of mine, come back next week. Our time is gone. I'm just so excited about the Bible in these last days. The soon coming of Jesus, the resurrection. Oh, what a morning on that great getting up morning. Fare thee well. Fare thee well. Ah, friend of mine, come back next week. Will you do that? Right here on WMAF, and let's talk about Jesus.